In your workbook, I did the 2008, I put the 2008-2009 top 10 list. I don't even remember what page it's on. I think it's on page 47. Anyway, that was 2008-2009. And even though I have submitted and compiled all of the lists and articles for this year, my publisher and editor said, if you give them to anyone, we will cut off your head and roll it down Sixth Avenue in New York City. And since I intend to vacation in New York City in a couple of weeks, I didn't want my head there before the rest of me got there. So I am going to read for you the Cats Top 10 list for 2009-2010. Now, the first ones in the top 10, these are the places where you will find the most opportunity, the most real opportunity, beginning with the states. The states are Texas, California, New York, Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Missouri. The top cities, Dallas-Fort Worth, number one. Number two, Philadelphia. You want to go to Philly? Learn how to birth babies. Number three, Tampa, St. Pete. Nashville. Columbus, Ohio. Just tell your family or your family will chain to a tree and the dog in the backyard. Chicago. Phoenix. Knoxville, Tennessee. New York City, Long Island, and Miami, Fort Lauderdale. The whole corridor from Miami up the East Coast to Fort Lauderdale. Those are the top places. The bottom, where you'd have to shoot an uncle to get a foot in the door, and even that wouldn't help you. States, Alaska, Utah, you where? I'll tell you what you didn't tell a job in Utah. Hawaii, Colorado, Delaware, the Dakotas, north and south, you betcha. Rhode Island, Nevada, Idaho, and Montana. The cities with the least. Three guesses would top the list. San Diego. Which one? No. Atlanta is off the list this year. It starts with San Diego, goes to Charleston, South Carolina, Seattle and Portland, Oregon, Omaha, Nebraska, Indianapolis, Wilmington, Delaware, Louisville, Kentucky, San Francisco, and Denver. Don't waste your time unless your uncle owns the hospital. The top 10 compensation, the big bucks. Number one, Wisconsin. Number two, Texas. Three, Oklahoma. Four, Mississippi. Five, Illinois. Six, Florida. Seven, Iowa. Ha ha! Iowa! Eight, New Jersey. Nine, Virginia, particularly the western part of the state. And 10, Louisiana. Now, this is where the jobs are. This is the part one location report, and we're going to start with the Midwest being the number one regional employer in the country. 27% of the jobs in this market will be in the Midwest. Leading the way is Ohio, with 19% of the region's openings, including all of the C cities, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus. Employers are primarily large, regional, physician-run groups with smaller Democratic groups in the mix, about 10% national contract group penetration. Illinois will be choked full of jobs this year with a whole lot of action in and around Chicago, particularly the South Side. A good quarter of the jobs will be with smaller Democratic groups, and there is a strong regional group presence as well. Missouri and Indiana will each offer about 15% of the region's jobs, but will accept primary care boards in 45% and 36% respectively. This is a very important number that I figured into the location report. Out of all of the jobs available in the country this year, 26% are available to non-emergency medicine boarded or trained physicians. And when you are talking about peer groups, you need to know if those jobs that you're looking at are also looking at family practice trained and internal med trained docs who have had a little experience in the ER. So that's why I'm giving you those numbers as well. Don't expect to find opportunity in Indianapolis and St. Louis will be popular, and a few slots will open up in Kansas City. Iowa has over 55% of its jobs in rural areas accepting PC boards, but there is also a high-level opportunity for emergency medicine trained docs in both Des Moines and Cedar Rapids. Detroit is off the radar. The rest of Michigan will be seeing some action. Same goes for Kentucky, Louisville inactive, but the rest of the state wide open. Expect 55% national contract group positions and 40% open to PC boards in Kentucky. Kansas and Minnesota will provide about 8% of the jobs, with scarce but good opportunity in Wichita and Minneapolis. Wisconsin is a hot spot. Longstanding groups, northern, western parts of the state. It also gets the Peer Purity Award. Most of the docs there are ER residency trained. Zero opportunity for non-emergency emergency medicine residency trained docs. Not one. At least that I could find. Nebraska and the Dakotas, very little opportunity, nothing in Omaha but a spot or two, and maybe in Fargo and Sioux Falls. Now, the Southeast squeezes in a close second with 25% of the nation's job openings, 35% of the regions open to primary care boards. Florida leads the way. Great deal is due to the unprecedented opportunity in the Tampa-St. Pete area, as well as the Miami to Fort Lauderdale corridor. Even pediatric emergency physicians can find good spots in these regions. As usual, 50%, 5-0, are available through national contract groups. But a good 25% are with Democratic private groups offering partnership. Look for some cool slots in the Keys and even St. Augustine as well. Tennessee is the land of who needs EM boards. 70% of the openings won't require emergency medicine training in Tennessee. That's amazing. On the other hand, Nashville is another real hotbed of opportunity, followed by Knoxville and even Memphis. You can go live where Elvis lived. A large number of the positions will be in more rural areas of the state. And then you go into North Carolina, and that is also hopping with positions this year, mostly in the Charlotte area, some along the coast, and even a few within a short drive to Asheville. The research triangle, zippity-doo-da. There is a group offering and advertising jobs a short drive to the research triangle. You may consider 90 minutes a short drive. I don't. So just be careful what you read about and find out the details before you listen to what they have to say. The Western Smoky Mountains, Blowing Rock, that area, you can actually find a couple of jobs up there with some of the groups. It is an absolutely beautiful area of the country. If you've never been up there, if you're a mountain person, not a bad place to look. Georgia, opportunity in around the state, pretty much everywhere, including a couple of jobs in Atlanta. A few along the coast. Look for 50% national contract groups and a few small Democratic groups. Mississippi, 65% PC board acceptance, 45% national contract group penetration, and the highest paying job in Mississippi is in a prison. Alabama, I'll get to that in a minute. Alabama and South Carolina will each provide about 10% of the region's jobs with nice spots in the Birmingham area, the Southern Panhandle area, otherwise known as the Redneck Riviera, and even one or two in Hilton Head. But nothing, as usual, in Charleston. Forget Charleston. Wipe it off the map. Take your little Surrey with a fringe on top. Put it in your back pocket. It ain't going to happen. New Orleans is making a comeback with several openings through large and regional groups available. Both MCARE and the Schumacher Group have a lot of jobs in Louisiana and New Orleans area. The state has 50% national contract group spots and about 45% primary care board acceptance with positions all over the state. Arkansas, West Virginia, sporadic opportunity, very, very high penetration of national contract groups, and over 50% primary care boards. Now, like last year, Texas has the most job openings in the West, Southwest, but not by much. California is right up there with Texas. A very, very high 40% in California are open to primary care boards, and the same goes for Texas. The major cities in Texas, including Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and especially Dallas-Fort Worth, will be offering strong opportunity. Get there early, because everybody else is going to. In contrast, the major California cities will be thin, and that includes Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego. You're going to have to go inland to find the opportunities. However, you can find stuff in the Napa Valley, you can find stuff in the Sonoma Valley, and the winemaking regions above Santa Barbara, inland around San Jose. So there are some really good jobs to be available in California. They're just not in the big, big cities. Phoenix is hot this year, both temperature-wise and opportunity-wise. I left 114 degrees. And the rest of Arizona has some opportunity both north and south. Banner Health is the major employer, but most of their facilities contract with other groups. So you can contact Banner Health and their hospitals in Arizona, but in most cases they're going to refer you to groups that are running their EDs. But don't mistake the fact that the group may have the contract, but Banner Health runs the EDs. Banner Health runs Banner Health all the way. Look for a few nice spots in both Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and a few more rural sites around that state. New Mexico's opportunity is primarily rural. One group is hiring in Albuquerque. Check that out. Nevada is all about Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is all about MCARE. There are six jobs, and they're all MCARE, and they're all in the city. From what I understand, they're pretty good contracts. They're paying some decent money. If you want to go hang out with the Cirque du Soleil folks in Nevada and Las Vegas, that's who you call. Colorado is kind of jumping. There's an academic spot in Denver and a few small groups in the West and the usual openings in the East. The usual opening in the East, two places every year, same job, without fail for the last 20 years. Colorado Springs and Pueblo. They always have a job. I found two jobs in rural Utah. I mean, rural Utah. You know, little dirt road, little lean-to, that's the hospital. There's even a group in Hawaii. But again, don't expect to find those within the next couple of months. So if you're interested in those two places, look for them now. The Northeast offers 14% of the U.S. jobs, with New York in the lead, offering 45% of the area's opportunity, including a respectable amount in both New York City and the Long Island area. Also expect to see some spots in Rochester and around the northern and western parts of the state. Ever been to Buffalo? Don't go. Not pretty. Only about 10% of the region's positions will accept PC boards. It's interesting. The more Northeast you go, the less and less opportunity there is for non-EM trained docs. Kind of the way it works. Hospital employees are the primary status in the Northeast, particularly in Upper New England. Massachusetts and Maine will provide 15% each of the area's opportunity, with some good jobs in general Boston area, including some academics, and a few along the coast of Maine, including Bangor. Bangor, Maine is one cool town. It's where the university is. There's some good stuff there. So if you're interested, find that job on edphysician.com and jump on it. Also, check out Cape Cod. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Western Massachusetts and the Berkshires. So if that's an area that interests you, you should check that out as well. Upper New England states will have activity as well, with some more openings in Vermont and New Hampshire than usual. And Connecticut has some real strong opportunities scattered throughout, but Rhode Island is dead as a doornail. I think there was one job in Providence, and it's probably gone already. But Connecticut is a hot state. Just understand that the cost of living in Connecticut can be on the higher side, particularly if you want to buy a house. However, if you are really interested in Connecticut and you want to work 1,328 hours and earn over $300,000, see me. Just a little plug. Anyway, Pennsylvania leads the six Middle Atlantic states with unprecedented amounts of opportunity in Philadelphia. I have never seen this many jobs in Philadelphia in 19 years. Now, this is the year city of emergency physicianly love. Even Pittsburgh will see some activity, as well as the rest of the state with less than 25% national contract groups and very, very few small Democratic groups. But Pennsylvania is wide open. Take a look around and see what you can find there if that's your state of choice. The Tidewater area of Virginia. Does anyone know what Tidewater area is? It's the coastal area, kind of from Richmond on down to Virginia Beach. There's going to be all sorts of stuff going down there. Take a look at them. They're pretty well open. A few jobs will turn up in the D.C. metro area in both Maryland and Virginia this year. Very few, but take a look at them if that's an area that's of interest to you. The surrounding Maryland is quieter than the Virginia side, but take a look anyway. Baltimore, there will be some opportunity in Baltimore. The physician-owned group EMA is the major employer in New Jersey. 25% of the state's jobs in New Jersey come through EMA. They also run two of the big EDs in the New York City metro area, including St. Vincent's, I believe, is one of their hospitals. They have a partnership track. They pay some decent dollars. So if you're looking for the New York City metro area or the northern New Jersey area, EMA may be the group for you to check out. Delaware continues to be sparse. One or two job opportunities, most of those are with ECI and really not worth talking about. Less than 4% of the jobs in the Pacific Northwest make up the country's opportunities. I mean, it is just like no man's land. No shots in Seattle or Portland, not even in Boise. You want to look at interesting coastal and inland spots from the Northwest Emergency Physicians Division of Team Health. That is the major employer in the Pacific Northwest. They've got a bunch of things going on in Tacoma, as well as some spots up on the Olympic Peninsula, higher up into the Puget Sound. Really beautiful area, but you better be in the rain gang because that's what it does up there all the time. You'll find higher than usual activity in Wyoming, interestingly enough, primarily central and eastern parts of the state. Montana, unbelievable. Sporadic opportunity with jobs in lifestyle areas that are actually, you know, somewhat major cities for Montana. You can go, you notice I'm not classifying that any further. I mean, a town of 12,000 is a major metro place in Montana. You can go work for the VA. The VA actually has openings in Anchorage, in Alaska. So if you're interested in doing some work with the VA, I'm actually going to do a column in December about emergency medicine opportunity with both the VA and the Indian Health Service, which I think will be interesting to people who want to look a little outside of the box. basically the most interesting emergency physician job I found was located in Idaho. And this is going to be in my Truth in Advertising article in November. And it says, work from home. As long as you live 10 minutes away. No experience required. Okay. Words fail me on this one. So if you've been collecting trash for the last 5 years and you want to be an emergency physician in Idaho, this is a job to call. All right, now let's talk about compensation report. The levels have not really changed a whole lot from last year. Pockets of high dollars, pockets of perks. We talked about this in the body of the lecture before. You're going to see sign-on bonuses continue to be a really big thing this year. They're going to range anywhere from $5,000 in a really popular lifestyle area as high as $50,000 in the difficult to recruit for locations. And then, of course, there's that Lima, Ohio, $100,000. I don't know if it's because the group in Toledo is actually part of Premier Healthcare that they offered this number to the graduating resident there. But obviously they are desperate for docs in Lima, Ohio, so you can claim a pretty big number up front if you are so inclined to go there. Now, you will find that RVU-based fee-for-service wages around the country are topping the pay scale, primarily in partnerships located in strong payer mix territory. And that's parts of Wisconsin, Texas, Florida, Virginia, Mississippi, California, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, and Ohio, and even in Pennsylvania and Washington. So that's saying when you're looking at an incentive pay that really borders on the fee for service, you're going to make higher dollars than those that are just paying a salary for hourly, annual, and maybe a benefits package. So those are the areas where you're going to find most of the strong RVU payments. Now, many of the groups require a minimum of 1 to 2 years of lesser income and or a buy-in for partnership. But once there, the annual incomes can and do pass the $500,000 mark. That's a whole lot of moolah. It's a simple gotta give to get scenario. All physician partner owners have endured, so the physicians coming in can't expect to be given a bypass on having to pay their buy-in or having to do their sweat equity to equal what the other physicians have done to earn their part of that partnership payout. Physicians must job search with an eye to the future, not just what will be earned this year. Look most carefully at earnings for years 2 to 5. That's where your concentration should be, not the first year. What kind of retirement or pension program is available? With changes in healthcare coming down the road, looming on the horizon, no one knows what's going to happen. But you need to be looking at how you can put money away because, again, your shelf life is shorter than the standard surgeon, family practitioner, internist, dermatologist, all of that. You burn out faster than they do. So I'm not saying make all your money up front. I'm saying make sure you're putting away for when you do retire. It's real important that you check out that retirement and pension package from the beginning. Search for a savvy long-term arrangement, not a quick buck. Employers offering loan forgiveness will be doing so over a period of years. We went through that. Finally, there are some employers that are offering a monthly stipend to residents who are graduating in 2010 who will sign a contract in August or September. They will pay you throughout the rest of your residency anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000 a month. That sounds like a great deal, but read the fine print. You may have to pay back anywhere from 6 to 8 years to get that money. I've got a doc right now that had to be bought out of his contract because he thought he only had to work 3 years. to pay for the $2,000 a month he was getting for 8 months. He had to work 6 years. So it cost him $47,000 to get out of a job he had already worked 3 years in. So read the fine print if anybody offers you that kind of deal. Very important. Now, the figures in this report are based on incomes from both employee and fee-for-service models. The annual package incomes that I'm going to tell you about include an average benefit package valued at $25,000, excluding malpractice or tail premiums, because they differ in every state. For instance, a graduate going to work in Connecticut, their malpractice premium, day one, $50,000 a year. And it goes up from there. And that doesn't include tail. So you need to know, you may just put, you know, malpractice aside, that doesn't mean much, okay, I'm getting malpractice. You have no idea how much that costs the employer. So find out. Because if they say, yeah, but we're paying your malpractice, don't negate that as something that doesn't mean anything. Because more and more employers these days are saying, well, you know, you're a partner, you should be kicking into your own malpractice premium. So be aware. Now, leading the country in income levels for the first time is the Midwest. And this is primarily due to the outstanding partnership incomes available in Wisconsin. Area's highest package at $500,000. Hourly high, $300 an hour. Plus a statewide average of $170 an hour and $330,000 package for the first year. The average hourly for the 13 states in the Midwest is only $148.50 an hour, because that covers all 13 states, including the rural areas. The average package is $281,500. Now, Minnesota follows with an hourly average of $160,000, but the average package is low due to the number of rural opportunities, averaging $265,000. I found in Illinois, high, $190,000 an hour, $360,000. And in Indiana, a high of $200,000 an hour, $400,000. With both states offering an average of $145 an hour. Kentucky and Kansas have an hourly average in the $145 to $150 range, as does Ohio. You'll find $200 an hour in Branson, Missouri. You into country music? Branson, Missouri is offering $200 an hour. But the state average is more like $140 an hour. So that makes you ask, why is Branson offering $200 an hour? Good question. Iowa, hourly average in the $150 range and an annual package around $400,000 for a partner. Michigan is the lowest earning state with an average of $130 an hour and a $230,000 package. That's because Detroit isn't hiring this year. Last year, Detroit had jobs at $200 an hour. Those are filled. I don't really expect to see any this year. Michigan is still the lowest paying state in the Midwest. I told you about the 100,000 sign-on in Lima, and a great package offered by Mayo Clinic in Minnesota starts at $180 an hour, and then there's a Cleveland group with RVU incomes at $400,000 a year first year. Just a baby step behind are the 10 southeastern states. Hourly average for the region, $146 an hour. Annual average package, $265, and that's for the whole region. Hourly highs are in Alabama and North Carolina. Alabama's hourly high I found was $215 an hour, and I found $206 an hour in North Carolina. Followed closely by Florida, Louisiana, and Mississippi, all offering highs at the $200 an hour level. Averages in these states are considerably lower, with Florida and Mississippi averaging packages of $300,000 and an hourly of $150 to $155. Louisiana, Alabama, and North Carolina average packages between $270 and $290. Georgia and South Carolina average hourly incomes $145 to $150. Packages $280. Tennessee averages $140 an hour, $265 annual package. Arkansas, West Virginia bring up the rear with averages of $133 an hour and a package at $250. Notable in the region, a group in Southeast Alabama offering $330,000 to start with a partnership earning over $500,000 in a year as a partner. Huh? Yeah. Team Health, the principal employer in Tennessee, offers a base plus RVU incentive topping out over $350,000 in the Chattanooga and Knoxville areas, and similar packages up to $300,000 level around the state, depending on the site and the experience of the candidate. They're also offering strong perks in most locations. Look for some strong sign-on bonuses from Team Health. Look for $300,000 packages along the west coast of Florida. Again, the Tampa-St. Pete area that we were talking about. Slightly higher on the east coast, the Miami to Fort Lauderdale. Louisiana is getting back in the game, according to the Schumacher Group, a principal employer there, with up to $170 an hour, depending upon the location. And they will pay the same to an ER doc that they pay to a primary care boarded doc. It depends on the location. Top dollars in Mississippi are in the prison system at $350,000 a year. I don't really know what to say about that. Okay. North Carolina has pockets of high hourly income in both Rocky Mount at $200 an hour and a more coastal group offering $206. The region's high income is in Alabama and the low is in West Virginia. Now, with over 50% of the region's nine states not reporting enough to be included, I can't really give you solid regional numbers in the West Southwest. That's because Colorado, Hawaii, New Mexico, Nevada, and Utah, I mean, they just don't figure into things. I can't get serious numbers from them. So what we're talking about here is Texas, California, Oklahoma, and a few things in Nevada. Now, Texas remains the top of the payer board in this area. Highs reported at $240 an hour in fee-for-service situations, an average of $210 an hour in El Paso, and a statewide average of $165 an hour, $325,000 package for an EM residency-trained candidate. The bigger dollars in Texas are closer to the Mexican border than they are to the large central cities. California is all over the scale with fee-for-service incomes ranging from $180 to $230 an hour. More interior regions, what we talked about before, annual packages, if you work in a really, like for instance, I think it was Solvang, that's that kind of weird city up in the mountains that has kind of a Quaker feel to it or something, $172,000 a year. That's what you'll earn in Solvang. They don't have to pay to get docs to go there. On the other hand, fee-for-service incomes on the San Jose and interior parts are going $180 to $230 an hour. In Oklahoma, $190 to $200 an hour in parts of Oklahoma. Another group in the state is offering a package of $370,000 first year with unbelievable amounts of perks. Everything from loan forgiveness to sign-ons, I mean, it's there. If you're interested in this kind of thing, that means you get on edphysician.com this afternoon and go to that state and look for that listing because it's there. MCARE, principal employer in Las Vegas, running five EDs, averages $175 an hour, $300,000, depending on the site, but with no differentiation, again, between EM residency trained and primary care residency-trained docs, just experience. Arizona averages $125 an hour with a $260,000 package, but with some rare fee-for-service partnerships that have reported as high as $180 an hour and a $340,000 package. All right, Middle Atlantic. You have two regions there that are on the Cat's Top 10. Pennsylvania, you can find a package for a partnership in Pennsylvania topping $400,000. Large sign-on bonuses, loan repayment, full benefits available across the state. State average is $250,000 packages for boarded docks. The hourly and package averages are very location-specific, with the western part of the state capable of doubling the earnings that you can get in the eastern part of the state. We talked about EMA being the principal employer in New Jersey and New York. They're coming in at around $170 an hour, provide substantially high incomes and benefits to partners. Both states average $150 an hour, while Maryland offers the regional low at $125 an hour. There is one spot in Baltimore with a high hourly of $170 to $210. D.C. and Delaware were non-responsive as usual. Now, if you want to make some good bucks in the seven states of the Northeast, Connecticut is where you want to go. Employer offering $350,000 package for 1,328 hours a year. That's $260 an hour. Regional average is only $125 an hour due to the abundance of rural opportunities in the upper New England states. And also throughout New York. You get into the tiny towns and the Finger Lake regions of New York, you get some pretty low dollars there. Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Vermont have very few openings, so there really wasn't enough concrete opportunity. But I would say in those areas, again, mostly rural, look at 135, maybe 140 an hour. Highs in New York, about 300,000, particularly outside of the New York City area. There are some high sign-on bonuses in New York in the $40,000 to $50,000 range. Look for them. Massachusetts has an average of $140 an hour, $275,000 a year package. Maine is the land of perks. Remember Caribou? All moose? Maine is where you're going to find most of your loan forgiveness, your sign-on bonuses, and all sorts of other weird things. You can even get J-1 visa spots in Maine. It's the only place in the country where I've seen them offered. Averages are low, $110 an hour, $225,000 packages. But those are not including the perks that they're putting on top. So if you're looking for that kind of thing, Maine might be one of the places you want to look for it. Look for partnerships in and around Boston to come closer to $300,000. Now, finally, bringing up the rear, Pacific Northwest averages under $120 an hour, but a few surprises, including a group in southern Washington, I think it's the Tri-Cities area, offering $400,000 to $450,000 and high numbers all over the place for a group there. At least $160 an hour in some of these Montana sites. I think one of them was in White Springs, Montana, or White Sulfur or whatever, but you can get some significant dollars in Montana, averaging about $160 an hour. There is a $330,000 a year opportunity in Wyoming. That's not the one where you don't need any experience. Oh, that was Idaho anyway. And both Wyoming and Idaho offer an average of $130 an hour, $210,000 packages, again, without perks. Washington, the average is also $130 an hour throughout the state. Package is slightly higher at $250,000 due to the incentive bonuses and the benefits packaging that is offered there. And, again, you know, Alaskan salaries don't count because there aren't any jobs there. If you go to work for the VA in Alaska, don't expect to make big bucks. But, again, the thinking outside the box, it's not as low as you might think it would be. And, basically, that's it. That is the compensation report for this year. But I want to talk to you just briefly about compensation in general. Look for a salary representative of the region. Very important. Every department is different. Don't be afraid of the independent contractor status. It is not an employment status. It is a tax status. Your job security is no less if you go for an independent contractor job. Just understand what it means and make sure that anyone who offers you independent contractorship also offers you the services of an accountant who can help you make the most of that tax status. Tail coverage, we talked about, harder and harder to get. Another important thing is about incentive income, bonuses, profit sharing, whatever the employer chooses to call it. You want to think twice about taking a position that where the income is based entirely upon production or RVUs. Remember the one I told you about in Florida. Get your formula, know how you earn it, and make sure it breeds good work, not competition. Once you've been out in the real world and working for a couple of years, you will find that the RVU kind of compensation, the fee-for-service compensation, will do the best for you. Because your first year out is still, in a lot of ways, a training year. You're getting used to this whole process. So you're not going to earn as much on a fee-for-service-based income in year one as you will in years two, three, four, five, and on down the road. So don't expect to earn it all the first year. You know, get something respectable. If you can't live on $200,000 a year, there's something wrong with you anyway. But at the same time, you know, just be reasonable about how you go about looking for that kind of thing. Also, once again, it is never too early to start thinking about retirement. Anything that you look at, make sure that there is some sort of defined retirement program, pension program. A lot of groups will cut back on their actual hourly, but at the same time will put aside for partners $49,000 a year, the country's absolute maximum. They will contribute that into a retirement plan that you invest. You direct how that's invested. But when you think about it, just shy of 50 grand a year is going into a retirement package for you. That's significant. And what would you be doing with that $50,000 anyway? You fritting it away on weird stuff. So that's a very important segment. Understand that the retirement and pension portion of your income is not something to be discounted and ignored. And again, ballpark predictions, guidelines, not absolutes. And finally, let's talk about starting your job, credentialing. Any place you go, you're going to have to get credentialed by the hospital. And what that means is you're going to have all of your paperwork, your medical school transcripts. If you did your medical school, anybody do their med school in a foreign country? All right, you're going to have transcripts from that. You're going to have your tests when you did the test for foreign med grads, so forth and so on. You're going to need all those pieces of paper ready to go for credentialing. So if you've got to assemble more than anybody else, make sure that you do it now. So when it comes time for the hospital to credential you, you've got all that stuff already set to go in. Again, we talked about licensing. Get in touch with the medical board of the state that you're targeting. Have them send you an application and have them send you all of the information you need, including the time frame, how long it takes to get a license in that state. They send it for free. You only pay when you send in your application. Also, relocation. Most employers will cover the cost of relocating, but not all of them will. So you need to find out. Like, for instance, New York, Colorado, they may say, okay, we'll give you $1,000, maybe $2,000 to pick up and move your family. Find out before you accept the job what the deal is with that. The other big question that comes up is, well, if I'm getting a sign-on bonus, does that include my relocation bonus? Not necessarily. Again, you need to ask the question. It's not the first question you ask, but it is a question that you ask. Is my sign-on bonus inclusive, or are you also giving me a relocation bonus? And if you are, how much is it? How do I get it? And when do I get it? Are you going to ask me to move and then turn in my receipts for the cost of the move and then reimburse me? Or are you going to give me a finite number, which is what most places will do? We will give you $4,000 to $5,000 for relocation. But if they're going to do that, don't expect them to top out the sign-on. Don't get greedy is basically the idea here. If you're getting a $25,000 sign-on bonus, don't look for a $10,000 reload bonus on top of it. Particularly, you know, be thoughtful about this. I mean, this is costing them money. If you intend to buy a house right away, if this is a place you're absolutely certain you're going to spend at least the next 3 to 5 years, this is the best market to buy a house in. It's the lowest interest rates. The cost of housing is lower than it's been in 10 years. Absolutely makes sense. But make sure that when you go and do your interview, you get time to do a real neighborhood tour. And that once you've accepted the job, you get a chance to come back. And they will even pay for you to do this. And do an in-depth real estate tour with someone who knows the area. Just about every hospital out there has a relocation specialist. It can be a real estate agent in the area. It can be anyone who knows everything about that particular area, the schools, the churches, whatever it is you need to know to create a lifestyle for yourself. So if you need help with relocation, ask if they have a relocation specialist they can put you in touch with. Otherwise, if you're working with a recruiter, your recruiter can be your relocation specialist as well. The important thing is to make sure that you have someone on your team that knows the area well, so you don't end up buying a house in a neighborhood that if you'd known this about it, you never would have bought a house there. If you're not absolutely certain you're going to be settling in the region for at least 3 to 5 years, do not buy a house. Rent. Because if you pick up and go in the usual 2 years, that's not a millstone you want hanging around your neck. This real estate market is not going to jump back anytime soon. Another thing you need to be aware of is whether or not there are other perks available for new physicians coming into an area. In the more rural sections of the country, particularly those in need of good doctors, local banks will make low, and in some cases, no interest mortgages available to any physician that moves into the area. You will also find merchants making special deals, the furniture store, you name it. When I told you earlier, it takes a village to hire a rural emergency physician. I'm not kidding. One more story from the Cat's Vault. This is one of my favorites. I had a job in Rosebud, Montana. The hospital had 11 beds, and they desperately needed an emergency physician, pretty much to work on his own or her own in this ED. I got a couple who was interested, and we got them there on a site interview. They flew into Boise and got a little puddle jumper to Rosebud. When they got off the plane, the high school marching band was there on the tarmac to welcome them. They were then escorted by limousine to the local inn where they got this beautiful suite with flowers everywhere. And that evening they were taken to the community's special annual event. It was based on Las Vegas night. And guess what they won? A return trip, all expenses paid, to Rosebud, Montana. The next day, while the physician interviewed, the wife was taken to the local school, grades 1 through 6. They had 2 young kids. All the little kindergarten children had little notes for her and big bundles of wildflowers. She would have needed a truck to get all the flowers out of the school. I mean, this thing just kept on going and going, and it got worse and worse. 2 days later, they finally left like this, and it took them 3 months to make a decision, and they ended up taking another job, but they said to me, Barbara, I will tell you this, I have never felt so guilty about turning down a job than I did about turning down the job in Rosebud, Montana. I mean, eventually, someone did take that job, but this is the kind of thing that goes on out there, so be prepared. Now, again, loan payback, very important. The federal government does not recognize emergency medicine as a primary care specialty. There is no federal or state loan payback available. The only way you're going to get it is if the hospital or the group offers it to you. If you're going to get it, and you want to get it all, You're going to have to sign a multiple-year contract to get it. Now, if you sign a five-year contract, does that mean that you cannot go back to them in year three and say, I want to earn more money? Absolutely not. But that doesn't promise that you're going to get it. But you do have the option of doing that. The places where you are going to find most of the loan payback: rural Midwest, Maine, Pennsylvania, Ohio. There are other areas, but that's the principal place where you're going to find it. Now, if you have your job and your home and your kids are in school and all that kind of thing, what you get to do then is report for your first day at work. Remember, you only get one chance to make a first impression. Make sure that it's a really good one, because you plan on spending some time here. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Only stupid person who doesn't ask the questions. No stupid questions. Do not criticize. The phrase, that's not the way we did it, eliminate it from your vocabulary. It does not exist anymore. The way they do it here is not the way they do it out there. Keep your eyes and your ears open and learn. Don't forget the support people. Introduce yourself to the nurses, the other staff, the techs. They deserve your respect, and you want to get respect from them. Make sure that you pay attention. Be on time. Look respectable and professional. And don't try to impress everyone on your first day. You're going to have a lot of time to impress people with your knowledge and your abilities. The most important thing is to make sure that you're there to do a job. If you can, and you get a chance to do it before you start the job, try to get some observation shifts under your belt. If it's not too far away, go sit in on an entire evening shift and watch how the hospital works. Watch how the ED works. It's a valuable tool that will really help you get ready to start on your first day. Another thing, just a quickie, don't spend your first day asking about when you get your first day off and when you get your first paycheck. I mean, let's be a little circumspect about why you're there. Another thing, most important thing for your first couple of days, smile. Be someone that they're going to look forward to working with. And I will take any question that you want to throw at me. Anyone? I mean, I did not miss a thing. Then who's the seniors who need me to sit down with them? Let's come over here, grab some chairs. I will go over your CVs with you, and thank you very much. If you get evaluated.